Yo, what's up? Thank you for listening to OK Beast Presents Overwatched, a podcast miniseries dedicated to Blizzard's new game, Overwatch. My name is Blessing. Joining me, we have Alex Van Aken. What's up, Alex?
What up, what up?
And we have Ian Preschel. What's up, Ian?
It's your boy. What up?
Yo, so this is the first episode of Overwatched. If you're listening, and I'm sure you are, Overwatched is a podcast dedicated to all things Overwatch. From the characters to the updates to our experiences with the game, this is a show made to share our love and keep you up to date on the world of Overwatch. Once again, this is episode one. And yeah, so how are you feeling, Ian?
How am I feeling?
Yeah, how are you feeling?
I'm tired, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, I woke up pretty early today, but overall, do you mean how I'm feeling about the game?
Or just how are you feeling in general?
I'm a little hungry, I'm a little tired, but I'm feeling good. I'm on a podcast with my boys, so I'm pretty happy.
Quickly, in your most succinct way, can you tell people who you are, what do you do, what country do you live in?
My name is Ian Preschel. My blood type is B positive. So what I do is, my name is Ian Preschel.
Do you know that? Is that a blood type?
B positive? No, I don't know. Okay. I have no idea. I think my blood type is O. Well, my name is Ian Preschel. I live in Sumidaku, Japan. I am currently an English teacher, but I also write for various websites about travel. And now I'm trying to start getting into the video game world with writing and stuff like that. So that's kind of, in the most succinct way, who I am.
Awesome, awesome. Alex, who about you?
I'm Alex Van Aken. I'm in Boulder, Colorado, and I do a lot of work over at pixelpulseradio.com, my podcast. I write occasionally, and so that's probably where people might know me from, if anybody knows me.
Awesome, awesome. And for those listening, I am Blessing Adoye, and you can find me at okbeast.com, and this podcast, Overwatch, is also brought to you by okbeast.com. It is an OK Beast Presents podcast, meaning that you can find this podcast under the moniker of OK Beast Presents. And if you're unfamiliar with OK Beast Presents, OK Beast Presents is sort of a podcast network in a way, I think you could say. So if you go on iTunes and you look up Beyond, right, under IGN, or you look up Giant Bomb, or the Giant Bombcast, right, all these different podcasts all have their own sort of channel. And so Giant Bomb, or OK Beast Presents, is the name, is sort of the feed for this podcast. It's the main moniker that's over this podcast.
Overwatched. But wait, is Blessing, just, will we be talking, yes, about other topics in the future besides Overwatched under the OK Beast moniker?
Yes. Yes and kind of no. So
we're not invited back.
Under the OK Beast Presents moniker, yes. Okay. There will be, but Overwatched, which is this podcast, is sort of a miniseries focused on Overwatch. And so it's a limited run. I'm aiming for maybe about 8 episodes or so. And it will be under OK Beast Presents. But OK Beast Presents is sort of the umbrella name for all the podcasts going into that OK Beast Presents sort of name, if that makes sense.
It makes sense. What is the next game we're going to talk about? Can I put in my suggestion?
You can.
Okay, can I put it in right now?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to put in my suggestion, Nintendogs for the Nintendo DS.
You know, I just picked up a copy of that the other day.
Are you serious?
No.
Oh, I was like, all right, 10 years old. All right, forget Blessing. We're going to start our own Nintendogs podcast called Woof Woof, Here It Is.
I feel like we're like 10 years too late for that.
Yeah, I think you're a little late on that one.
I'm sorry, like, I still take care of my dog every day, so I don't know
what I heard you guys that, have been doing. You know what? At E3, it's rumored Nintendo might be coming out with Nintendogs VR.
Oh, you stop!
No, I'm totally. That'd be awesome though, right?
No,
virtual reality Nintendogs.
No, not at all.
Have a pet in virtual reality because
I've got a pet in real life and already is terrible, so I don't want to deal with virtual pets.
Mm. Oh yeah, but I can tell you that some other shows coming to OK Beast Presents. One, we will be doing a basically an E3 coverage show. I plan to do that hopefully the Wednesday after that E3.
Are we invited?
I mean, if you want to. I already have somebody lined up. I'm not going to say their name yet in case they fall through, but I have somebody who reached out to me and wanted to do a podcast, and so...
That's fine. That's fine. Fine. Alex, I mean, Van Aken and I are going to do our own podcast called Not Blessing Podcast.
We can have four people. Do you know... Actually, that'll be kind of awesome to have, like, four people on an E3 coverage show. Be difficult to sort of initiate and do through Skype or Hangouts or whatever, but it could work, and it'd be pretty awesome. And so, those listening... Look out for the future. There's that. And then there's other shows I want to do. I want to do interview shows where I interview people either from the games media or within the games industry. And also, if you've been keeping up with The People, the podcast that just ended.
Season finale.
The first season. The season finale, basically. Yeah. That will be making its way back soon. Maybe not soon. Who knows? And I might even change that. I'm thinking about changing that from a season format to sort of a one-off format. To it'll just come out randomly whenever, whenever I get the chance to talk to somebody. There'll be a new episode maybe. And so there's that. And so I have a few shows planned for OKBeats Presents. But this is a show about Overwatch, and so we're gonna talk about Overwatch, aren't we?
Yes.
No, yes. I'm good.
It's okay, Ian. You're fine. No. First of all, our impressions. How do we feel about Overwatch? What's your story? How we are on what, week two of the game being released?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The end of week two at the time this podcast is being recorded. This podcast will be going up during week three, I believe. But how are you guys feeling about Overwatch?
It's fantastic. It's probably my favorite game I played in 2016 so far, for sure.
Really?
Damn.
I mean,
why so?
Yeah, tell us.
I just think it's... Well, I haven't played Uncharted 4 yet, but it just seems like it's the most polished. It's the most fun. Like, if you're going to ask me, okay, Alex, you have an hour to play. What's the game that you're going to play? What's going to give you the most fun? And I'm going to tell you it's Overwatch. Just because it's so polished. The 21 characters all feel different, and they all play together in awesome ways. And I don't know. I just think it all comes together for an awesome product. I know I'm saying the word awesome a lot, but it's awesome.
I mean, it is an awesome game. Were you expecting it to sort of hit you like this?
Yes, I was. I was definitely anticipating this game for quite a while, probably like since I've seen coverage of it. And once I got my hands on the beta in, what, early May, I think, it just kind of solidified everything for me.
Mm. Ian, what about you?
Did I think it was going to hit me this hard? No. To be completely honest, but this game has been pretty big on Twitch for a while. A lot of popular streamers that play League of Legends also played this game, and when I saw it, I saw, okay, cool, it's a third person shooter or first person shooter, and I thought it was interesting, but I didn't know if it was for me. I didn't get my hands on it until the first or second beta, but when I played the beta, I was like, okay, I can see myself draining hours into this game. What do I think of it? My impressions? I think it's a very good game. Again, like Alex said, it's very polished. I feel like I'm like learning new things about the game every day. If the progression system is good, it rewards your time well. I can see this being a thing, kind of like a League of Legends sort of thing for me, where I'm like, oh, this game is whatever. It's a free-to-play game, or it's a cheap game, whatever. And then like 1,000 hours later, I'm like, all right, man, let's go. We're going to do this strategy. We're going to go here. We're going to do this. You're going to use this person. I can see myself really like putting in that time into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sort of have a similar story to both of you guys, to where leading up to this game, I had no desire to play it at all. Before the beta, at least. And you know, I held this game sort of the same level I held Battleborn or Paragon, to where I actually thought this game was going to be more MOBA-ish than it was. Or than it is. It actually has almost zero MOBA elements besides the characters, like having unique characters, but besides that, like, nothing about it is a MOBA.
It's kind of funny because like it still seems like a lot of the general public think it's a MOBA.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I think that's due to it being in an unfortunate place of being released at the same time as Battleborn, and apparently there's another game called Battlecry, and like these games with similar ideas with similar names sort of make the space seem kind of weird. And so with Battleborn especially being released within weeks of it, and being promoted at the same time, having sort of the same premise with a group of hero characters with unique abilities, a first-person shooter. I think a lot of people got that confused. I know at least I did, and I don't know if I can blame Battleborn for me being confused, but I think it's definitely one of the proponents of that. And so, like, I had the same hype for this game that I had for Battleborn, to say that I had almost no hype for this game until actually Alex reached out to me and was like, "Dude, are you gonna play the beta?" Alex, are you frozen?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay, cool. I thought you froze for a
second. I'm just like a statue listening.
But yeah, like, so when I listened to the game, or when I listened to Alex, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna check out the beta, see what it's about. Even though I hated the Battleborn beta, hated the Paragon beta, I'm still gonna play Overwatch. I played it, and within the first match, I was already like, yeah, I think I like this game. And the more I play it, the more and more I really like it. And it is due to it being one of the best first-person shooter games I played. Multiplayer first-person shooters I played in a long while. And I can't remember. I think the last game I probably played that was a first-person shooter that hooked me like this was probably Call of Duty. And not like any of the recent ones. I'm talking like
Modern Warfare. World at War.
Yeah, well, that kind of era of Call of Duty. Yeah, like when I first experienced multiplayer Call of Duty like that.
So everything you're saying pretty much kind of just solidifies that I'm responsible for this podcast happening, because I'm an influencer. I influenced you. So therefore, any money that we make off this podcast, because you know we're going to be rolling in the dough after episode one, it all goes to me.
Do you also take the amount of money spent? So if I spend like $100 to get stuff for this podcast, do you also take the cost?
Oh, yeah. You want to pay for these microphones, bro?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the messaging, like, you know, am I the MOBA guy now? Am I the only person that's played a bunch of MOBAs? Or
I thought you're a MOBA guy.
I used to be.
I'm totally kidding.
I just got out. I haven't seen light for days. No, I used to play a bunch of League. I used to play a bit of Heroes of the Storm. I've played other MOBAs as well. Smite. But the problem, I guess, there's this new genre coming out right now that's becoming very popular. It's called the hero shooter, which takes elements from the MOBA in terms of like the classes and like, oh, this person is, you look at this person, definitely this type of hero or champion or whatever character. Mm-hmm. You look at this person, you definitely know what type of role they play. Like, for example, Reinhardt, Zarya, you see them. Yep, I know what they do. They're big people and this is what they're supposed to do. You see Tracer, you see Reaper, you know exactly what they're supposed to do. You know, stuff like that. It definitely borrows for that element, but it has no MOBA elements. I think the only reason why Bless and many other people associate Overwatch and Paragon together is just because of that small design element of having characters that look like they're supposed to do a certain thing. But there's literally almost no MOBA elements in this game.
Yeah, and I also think that like the term hero shooter is a very misleading term, because both Battleborn... And I bring up Battleborn a lot, and I know the two games are very different. I know some people get mad when they get compared, but like Battleborn and Overwatch both fall under the hero shooter genre, if you want to call it a genre. Yeah. But like, they're both very different games. Like if you gave me Overwatch and gave me Battleborn, and you were like, these are both hero shooters, I would think, like, first of all, I'll probably assume MOBA, which is what I did for Overwatch, and I would assume there's certain kinds of games, and I would probably assume that I wouldn't like them. But in this case, Overwatch is very much in the vein of traditional first-person shooters, except it's very much team-based.
Akin to a TF2.
Yeah, like TF2 or like the 90s shooters or something.
Like Doom, Quake, and all them.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, Battleborn is more so trying to capitalize off the MOBA trend and be more akin to games like League of Legends or Dota, but in a first person shooter sense. That makes sense.
No, it definitely makes sense. But again, it's just like the market demands what it demands, and I feel like not many people enjoy the MOBA terminology. And the thing is that Overwatch was associated with MOBAs because of the games that are semi-similar in its circle, I guess. What's your opinion on MOBAs, Alex?
MOBA, so I got into Gigantic, which was on Xbox One, It was in beta. I really enjoyed the game. It was super straightforward, really colorful. It was fun to look at. It was pretty easy to understand. And then they took it out of beta because they were dealing with publisher issues. I just got an update a couple days ago. Like, they're coming back, which is great. But that was really the only MOBA I got into. I tried getting into Heroes of the Storm. Wasn't for me. I'm just... I like the idea of being good at RTSs, which are pretty much directly tied to MOBAs in many cases. But I've never been good at them online. And considering a MOBA is... You know, that's exactly what it is. It just doesn't work out.
I
respect them. They're just not for me.
Yeah,
I've even tried getting into Smite as well, and it just doesn't click.
That doesn't click?
Yeah.
Like a button click? No? All right, I'll leave.
I'll see you guys later.
I'm going to turn my computer on.
Peace out. And so, going back to our impressions on Overwatch, what do you guys have any negatives about the game? Things about the game that you wish that they did better? Things that you think they could improve?
So I think the number one complaint I've seen, and I don't necessarily agree, is the progression of the game. A lot of people are saying, well, you're only unlocking skins, you're only unlocking voice lines and victory poses, and for a lot of people that's not enough. For me, that's fine, because I think the game, the mechanic, the gameplay loop is strong enough for me personally, where it's just kind of like a little bonus of me playing. What do you guys think?
So I sort of have actually that complaint about the progression.
Okay.
But my thing is, I don't know how they would fix it. When it comes to the progression, and I wrote about this in my review, right? The four things that you're unlocking in this game are skins, voice lines, poses. Actually, I don't even know if it's limited to four things. The things that you're unlocking in this game, cosmetic things. But what I think is, like, not many people care about the voice lines. Not many people care about sprays.
I care a lot about my spray.
A lot of people care about sprays. Like, I have some fun with sprays, but sprays aren't enough to make me be like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna grind from level 20 to level 21 and spend this hour grinding so I can get a new spray. The skins are cool, but like, I don't know, the things that keep me coming back to other games, like other shooters, other multiplayer games, something like Call of Duty, where the difference between Call of Duty and Overwatch is that Call of Duty, my progression in Call of Duty is trying to make me better as a player. I'm trying to unlock new guns. I'm trying to unlock new attachments. That doesn't necessarily work for Overwatch, and I think the reason why Overwatch is awesome is because everything that pertains to gameplay is unlocked from the start.
Yeah.
And so everybody's on the same playing field.
Nobody's
better.
It's all pretty
well
balanced for the most part.
Yeah, it's very balanced. You can come in at level 1 and still have nobody at level 100 is going to have an advantage over you besides their skill as a player.
Yeah, yeah.
And that I really like, and that's why I'm like, okay, well, I don't want them to change that, and I wouldn't want them to change anything that pertains to that. But then the question pops in my mind of what am I playing for? Like, why? I feel like I have to be earning something, and I know I'm earning these cosmetic items, but most of these cosmetic items, at least I personally, I don't really care about. And I mean, I don't know. One suggestion I might have gave my article, or I might have just thought this up, was maybe make characters more customizable in terms of making them look the way I want them to look instead of just giving them regular costumes. And I feel like at least that will give me more of a investment into the characters. But besides that, I don't know. Like, I don't know what they would do.
So we're talking about the progression system or something bad that we don't like? Playing this game alone can definitely have you in a different mindset, I think, and definitely bring a lot more frustration than if we were playing as a group. Like, again, like my tagline whenever we play together, all three of us, I'm like, whenever we lose, I say, oh, it's whatever. We got the 20% XP bonus. It's fine. It doesn't matter. And when I'm playing alone, especially at the level cap, which is level 22, because after that, your experience requirement doesn't go up after that. It's always 22,000. I feel like the game progression system becomes like very slow, and that can kind of become frustrating, because whenever we're playing together, you know, if we win, I see the bar go up like one third, and I'm like, hell yeah, we did it, you know. And if we lose, it only goes like up a little bit, and I'm like, all right, that's fine. But again, I don't think there's inherently anything wrong with the progression system. I think it's they're going to be adding new skins, new things, you know, as the game comes out. And I feel like as that happens, people will be a little bit less frustrated because right now there's only 4 legendary skins. And, you know, we've been playing for a little bit. I have 5 of them. And I also bought a lot of the 250 skins from just playing and getting currency or whatever. Mm-hmm. I also bought 20 boxes. and I feel like there is enough here now, but a lot of the complaints I'm seeing are people are like, oh, well, I bought 50 boxes and now I don't have anything to do. Yeah, because you bought 50 boxes and you have enough currency to buy.
You broke half the game. Things.
Exactly, yeah. When progression is tied to cosmetics and you buy the currency you're supposed to earn over 50 levels in one sitting, yeah, it's going to feel broken. So I have no problem with the progression system. I played a free-to-play game for years and I just earned XP. Like, it doesn't really matter to me. In terms of gameplay balance, I feel like everything's pretty balanced besides... There's like 1 or 2 characters that I feel like need to be tweaked down a little bit, and I feel like some characters need to be tweaked up, but it's not egregious where I'm seeing, oh man, I see this character every game, or oh, I see this character every game. I guess my biggest complaint is that the characters that have the most static gameplay are actually the ones that I see winning most of the time. Like, again, I know the Bastion Salt is real, but I feel like Bastion and Torbjorn I see like nearly every single game, and I feel like they have the most static and boring gameplay, and they seem to be the ones winning most of the time whenever I play. So that's my biggest complaint. That's more of a design issue, not necessarily a balance issue. I don't think Torbjorn's broken. I think maybe his molten core needs to be adjusted, but that's neither here nor there. So
now I do want you to stop there. We have a viewer question from Winston Gray on Twitter.
Winston
RTR. He asks, what's your opinion on game balance? And you kind of touched on it a little bit. And I do want to add, like, people do complain about a lot about Bastion, a lot about Mei, a lot about who else? Oh, yeah, Torbjorn, like you said. Some about Reaper. And, like... I feel like we've gotten to the point where people have complained about almost all of the characters.
It's whoever you're losing to at the moment.
Yeah.
Is the typically
like, what. My opinion very much is that like I feel the game's very balanced and all the characters that people have complained about, I've found ways to beat them. And not even like very difficult ways. Like there are some characters where if you face them with certain characters, you're just not going to win.
Yeah, that's the game. Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, whenever I come up against a D.Va and I'm using Hanzo, and Hanzo's one of my main characters, so I'm using him a lot. Whenever I come up against a D.Va, I always get wrecked because Hanzo's not that good against D.Va. And I feel like that's people with the complaints about certain characters might want to try switching up their characters because they might not actually know the other side of, okay, if I'm going against up against a D.Va, maybe I'll choose somebody like Reaper who can take out a heavy in a few shots. And that's what I do with Bastion. With Bastion, I love going up against Bastion because I also use Reaper a lot. And when I use Reaper, like Reaper is amazing against Bastion, especially if you get up close. And the feeling of the reason why I don't want them to nerf Bastion, especially, is because the feeling of me taking out Bastion is a great feeling to have because a lot of other people on my team have trouble with Bastion. And that's because maybe Bastion has a very limited number of characters that he's fairly weak against, and he's strong against a lot of other characters, especially if they're not moving fast, especially if they're vulnerable or not paying attention. And so the satisfaction of being a character like Reaper or somebody else with sort of maybe a shotgun or that kind of weapon who can take out characters like Bastion in a few shots or a few hits is very satisfying.
Yeah, and in terms of balance, I wasn't... My whole thing is that I don't have an issue with his balance per se. It's just there's a whole thing called static gameplay and non-static gameplay where like Hanzo, you're walking around, you're shooting different arrows, you're mobile. It's more like fluid. With Bastion, it's like beep boop turret form win game beep boop. Like, you know, Torbjorn, set up turret in right area, sit down, shoot at nothing, win game. Again, I have no problem with their balancing. I'm saying that like when I play against them, like darn, like especially in a random game without you guys to help me out, I'm like, oh man, like, you know, that stinks. All right, whatever. But then
it almost seems like you want, just based off what you're saying, like you want more of a reward for style.
Not really style. It's just, no, it's very static. It's like, oh, I do one thing, I do that one thing well. All right, Torbjorn.
So, are you wanting IKEA like turret,
boom?
Yeah, I see what you mean. Like,
not fun to play against, and then when I play it to win, it's not fun to play. Not saying there's anything balance wise wrong with that. I like, and like, again, Genji, perfect counter to Bastion. And just sit in front of him, you click the button, deflect the bullets, you win. Genji is the perfect example of someone who has very active gameplay and takes a lot of skill to use. And even when you're losing, you're like, oh man, I could have done that better. Bastion, oops, I didn't move my controller fast enough to hit that person 100 yards away. It's, again, not balance-wise, completely fine. And maybe he's too effective in unorganized games that people aren't talking to each other. But yeah.
Yeah, I found a lot of the strength that Bastion gets is from playing against people that don't know what... I don't want to say they don't know what they're doing, because there's plenty of people that do know what they're doing that still get killed by Bastion. And it's very easy to get killed by Bastion if you don't know what Bastion's there, which you have to get killed by Bastion at least once to figure out, okay, Bastion's there.
Yeah.
Like, once if you know what you're doing and you know that there's a Bastion, then you know how to take out Bastion.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a few characters like that, to where if you've played the game enough and you know what you're doing, and you know that a character's there, you know how to take out that character.
Yeah.
And that's why I think they did really good on balancing is a lot of the games is about knowledge, you know, rather than about spamming or about choosing one character and, you know, sitting in a corner, setting up a turret in an unstoppable place. A lot of it is about awareness and either getting your team to tell you something or give you that information of, oh, watch out for this person or be aware of this. I mean, there's ways to take out everybody.
Yeah, for sure. And but I also, think that... I just found out apparently that Bastion's headshot zone in turret mode is behind him.
Yeah, the little blue orb on the back of him.
Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah, yeah. And it just seems, again, this is like a small design thing that I wish was more apparent. And I was, again, that's why you love playing Reaper against him. I don't play Reaper, so I had no idea about that. So I guess that's just something I learned.
And I think, like, a lot of these issues will, like, iron themselves out, like, as game sales kind of become more stagnant and the flow of new players kind of slows down. The players that are playing will become more knowledgeable. And so when you are in a pickup game, instead of just having useless teammates, maybe a couple of them will know, hey, if I'm playing Tracer, why don't I zip behind Bastion and hit him in the blue, and then we're good to go. Instead of you being against the world, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we, in a couple of weeks, hopefully it'll be a little bit different of a scene. If not in a few weeks, I think then it is time for maybe like a couple tweaks here and there, but
yeah.
Yes. Now, speaking of balancing, speaking of impressions, speaking of what's his name, Bastion, there's an article on IGN called Overwatch Tweaks Upcoming for McCree, D.Va, and Reaper.
And it reads,
as with any thriving online game, tweaks will always be coming to Overwatch sooner rather than later, but Blizzard's new shooter is planning for a raft of changes already. The game's official forums are predictably stuffed with comments and suggestions applying to the length and breadth of the 21-character roster, but three characters have been singled out by the designers themselves. In a post complaining about the power of revolver-toting offense standout McCree, Blizzard principal designer Jeff Goodman indicates that changes are coming. Referring to the character's ability to stun and kill many characters with a flashbang, fan the hammer combo, Goodman says it's probably a bit too good at dealing damage to higher health targets such as tanks and barriers. I don't have any concrete changes yet, but I'm going to be testing some things internally to see how he plays. He went on to say that the power of the fan hammer attack is more likely to see changes as opposed to the flashbang element. So let's pause there. Are you guys familiar with McCree's flashbang hammer attack?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's equivalent for those listening who played Gears of War. It's the two-piece, the stun and instant kill. That's what it is. And it happens. I was playing Overwatch like an hour ago, and I was playing in a game with a McCree who was doing exactly that over and over. And I like switched characters probably four times and just couldn't get him. It was frustrating, but
is that similar to May? May has an attack where she freezes you and does like an ice pick thing, and it kills me like every time.
That doesn't bother me as I can't talk. That doesn't bother me as much because with May, it takes longer than a split second for her to do that. McCree, mm-hmm. It's literally pop is flashbang, left trigger, and you're dead.
Okay. Yeah.
If he's aiming at
again, that's when you're talking about overtuning and undertuning, that kind of feels like one of the things that might be a little bit overpowered. Because
like maybe there's more of a delay between the time that he can activate his hammer.
Yeah. But,
like after a stun, like maybe increase that time a little bit. So
or maybe I can an do audio something. Cue.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he's like, gotcha. And then like you can put a shield up or get away. Yeah, again, this is kind of what I was saying before about static gameplay. Like, you know, you get hit with that thing, you're dead. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you're a one solo person, if you're a tracer, you're dead. If you're anyone below a certain, like, health quotient, you're donezo. Because each bullet from him, I think, is roughly around anywhere between 90 damage. So if you're a Zenyatta, you get hit, you're dead after a shot and a half or a shot in the melee. So, yeah.
Awesome. So the article goes on to say that Goodman took an opposite stance on D.Va, agreeing with comments that the mech piloting tank was a little underpowered, saying, "I do think there is some room for improvements for D.Va, but these are unlikely to take shape of increasing her damage output significantly." What do you guys think about that? I haven't really noticed much when it comes to D.Va in terms of her being overpowered at all.
Do you guys play her much?
No, I don't play her much. Once. I played her a lot in the beta.
I did feel like she was maybe a little bit underpowered. And I didn't know whether that was just me being bad as a player, and a large part of it probably was me just not playing D.Va before. But I did, I jumped in, played a little D.Va, and I was like, nah, I'm good. Because compared to the other tanks, like,
she does
I played Reinhardt yesterday, and Reinhardt was just taking a beating. And, of course, I did have his shield, which did play a huge part. But even, like, without, like, I just felt more durable. With D.Va, as a heavy character, I don't feel like she felt as durable as the other ones.
Yeah, with D.Va, I feel like I'm just slow for no reason, and I still feel like I need to hide. And if I'm in a giant mech, that probably shouldn't be the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've tried playing her, like, I probably played 5 games with her, just trying to get her, and I just can't. I feel like I definitely think she's underpowered. Maybe they don't change her damage output, but maybe increase her health, so she is more of a tank.
So here's the thing with her is, so the tanks are balanced in different ways, with Zarya having more shield, which can regenerate with her 400 health, Winston with high health, and I think he starts with, like, I think 50 armor, but he's mostly health, Roadhog, all health, 600, and then D.Va with health and armor. Now, armor doesn't regenerate, so if you get that hit, you need to either go to a health pack or have a healer heal you back up with your armor, or have someone give you armor. So that's also one of her issues, that when she gets damaged, she needs to jump in and then jump out. She can't stay there for long, like Reinhardt, who has the really crazy high health shield or whatever. So that's the first issue. The second issue is that her headshot is center mass of her body.
Yeah, and that's where everybody shoots naturally.
Exactly, yeah. Especially if you're, like, quickly aiming, because this game is all about mobility. If you're shooting and you're a Reaper, like, most of your shots are hitting at her in center mass, which is what's getting max damage, and that's why a lot of people feel like the mech form is, like, really underwhelming. And then that also messes with your ulti timer. And if you're a good D.Va, you send that ulti into the middle of the enemy team and you just annihilate them. But the problem is that you lose ulti charge when you lose your mech and then you die as a human. So it feels as though there might be maybe they're thinking about changing the ulti accumulation.
Maybe make that a little quicker. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, she's the most mobile of all the tanks by far. Has the quickest recharge, I think, besides Winston on her mobility. And mobility is extremely important in this game. So I think that she's in a good place, but maybe her ulti needs to be reworked in terms of how much she can accumulate. And also, when she's shooting, she slows down. And mobility, again, like I said, is the most important part of this game. If you're going slower, you're an easy target for a Widowmaker to just shoot you twice and then you're dead. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's my very biggest issue with her, yeah.
So, the article goes on. The last character to get an, albeit smaller, change will be the gaseous shotgun bastard, Reaper.
Unlike Blessing's favorite character.
Oh yeah, I love Reaper. unlike most characters, the effects of his attacks aren't color-coded, depending on which team he's on, which can lead to a mild terror when you see a teleportation effect appear beside you, only to see a friendly character emerge. And so they're not nerfing Reaper, they're not making him stronger, they're just changing the color of his teleport attack, which I was very I was scared when I read the headline because I saw they're making changes to Reaper. Yeah. So I was like, oh no.
This is a good change,
I think. Today's the day.
Yeah, in law we used to call this a quality of life change, which means that it's not a system, it's a systematic change, not a buff or a nerf, as we say.
Yeah.
And so I was super relieved when I actually read the article, and I was like, okay, they're just changing the color. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody should have a problem with this. This is, like Ian said, just a quality of life increase. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully nobody has a problem with this, because I can't imagine. Unless you play as Reaper and you like...
Just like chaos.
...the team into thinking, yeah, you like that chaos. But, I mean, besides that, I'm sure everybody will like that change.
Yeah.
So, those are the changes coming to Overwatch.
Yeah. In reference to that, so we talked about McCree being overpowered, D.Va being underpowered, and then having a quality of life change for Reaper. Do you guys... Who is your pick for... most overpowered, most underpowered, maybe needs a change, like quality of life change?
I would in the beta I would have said Bastion for sure, but I honestly, I mean, we've also talked about we are more knowledgeable on how to take him out, but I do think they tweaked him a little from the beta. He seems weaker now.
Yeah,
I haven't gone on a 26 kill streak with him yet.
Yeah, like, if you notice, like, they took away his shields from the beta. In the beta, he had shields on the left and right of him, in front of him, and now I think they removed that. Unless I'm making that up.
No, so I think in a few of the betas he had them. I'm not sure if they were there.
It was early. Early on, he had a shield, but that was taken down and was reworked.
But I think in the most recent open beta, I don't think he had the shields, but he still seemed very strong.
Huh.
And coming into the full game, he seems much more reasonable.
Then again, like, we're playing with a six-man team. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, Bastion up in the air. I think definitely Torbjorn's turret needs to have some sort of tweak to it. I'm not sure if that's less damage or less... I'm not really sure. I just feel like, as of late, I've just been getting eaten up no matter who I play as.
I think like, to agree with you, one thing that I think might or should get a change is its range. Because I swear, I've been on the other side of the map, and I've been like, all right, time to go. And then I get a shot from nowhere, and I'm like, wait, what's going on? And it's like Torbjorn turret, like a straight shot from the other side of the map. I feel like that might help out a little bit.
Yeah, I played a game probably four matches ago. I played it this evening. And the play of the game was Torbjorn. I killed him, and then his turret takes me out and another five people out. After he's dead, and I'm like, takes no skill, and it was one of those cases where, like you were saying, like it's like across the map, like how can the turret even see that? So maybe, like you said, a range tweak. I don't know.
So I think that would be more smart than tweaking damage. What do you think is underpowered, Alex?
Underpowered, Pharah, I think.
Really,
she's supposed to be this rocket queen, and I feel like most of the time she's just a nuisance. She's not really a problem. Certain maps, obviously, that changes, and her ultimate is pretty beast. But her like just regular rocket, I feel like, and it's kind of good because then I feel like if you tweak it too much, you run into like a Halo rocket game and it's just chaos. But she has to almost like she can't be but like 3 feet away from your character to damage you. I feel like, and maybe it increases the blast radius. Granted, I feel like if you tweak that too much, it's gonna. That could be a change that really hinders.
She'd become very powerful if you.
Yeah, so maybe it's just if you want to play as her, you just have to be used to that. And I just don't play her very much.
For me, at least, I use Pharah a lot.
Do you have that problem? Or do I just suck with her?
Well, I had that problem in the beginning, but then like once I started getting used to her, she is kind of difficult to use because her rocket launcher is a ballistic weapon, meaning that it's not his skin. Meaning that there's time between when you shoot and when it hits, and so it's hard to aim. And you know, I have to get like two or three direct hits with a rocket launcher before I can kill somebody. That being said, after using it for a while, I've kind of grown used to it, and I think it's fine. I do think maybe the hit radius on the rocket launcher could be a little bit larger. I actually think the one thing, if they do change something about Pharah, would be her ultimate, and I think they need to make her ultimate more powerful. I don't hit anybody with that thing.
What?
I can't hit anybody with that ultimate to change my life. And I don't know what it is. Like, see, have you guys...
I'll use her ultimate, and I'm hitting people, like, right on top of them. I don't kill them, but it seems like on the opposite end, when there's a Pharah above me, it's just, like, destruction. And yeah. I don't know.
I think the ultimate's actually the only thing that doesn't need to be changed. I think that maybe if I was to give a suggestion, maybe have her... Not the blast radius increased, but maybe her rockets... when hit, direct hit, maybe they like knock you back a little bit. I feel like that might be a good change and kind of cement her role as like, oh, in the attack, she's not necessarily doing the most damage, but she's more about pushing people away from an objective or like oh, we have like 1 second left, get Pharah to make sure that they can't get on the point and just keep on pushing them back.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Junkrat does way more damage and fulfills that same role way better as like a control sort of person, you know, keeping people away. But Pharah has great mobility. So maybe if they gave Farrah's rockets maybe a little bit of like pushback, that might cement her role as like a more of a control attack as opposed to a damage attack dealer.
Hmm. Interesting.
I'm applying to Blizzard right now as a designer.
And so,
Blizzard, please.
Those are our thoughts on the balancing. So thank you, Winston, for writing in. Our topic.
Oh wait! Before we go, I think Zenyatta's too weak.
Really?
I think that his health pool is too low for his lack of mobility. I feel like his health pool is way too low. 150 health, and I think 100 of it is shield. That's less than a Torbjorn turret.
Yeah.
So
because I think his damage output is fine.
Oh, no, yeah, his damage is disgusting, and he can definitely be countered easily by a good sniper like a Widowmaker or a Hanzo. I just think that maybe they should either make him his walk speed a little bit faster or give him a little bit more health. Because Lucio having 200 health with super crazy mobility and also the ability to do AoE healing, I feel like most of the time it's way more useful to go Lucio than it is to go to Zenyatta.
I haven't played Zenyatta once.
He's very good. He's really good at shredding tanks. So if you have a team of like, oh man, they have two or three tanks that are really good, what do we do? I feel like Zenyatta is a perfect pick for that because he's more of a tank shredder. But at the same time, I feel like after playing for a while, I mean, my most played is Zenyatta. But again, I feel like he has the Bastion problem where like if people know what Zenyatta's doing, he's useless. So I feel like maybe an increase in his health by like 25 points or 50 points, or maybe increase his mobility a little bit, that would be really good. Like maybe if he throws an orb on someone, he can move faster towards them or something, like similar to Mercy or something. I don't know. But
yeah, I don't have enough experience with him to comment, but you seem to have a lot of experience with him. So
yeah, I haven't used him before.
I trust you.
Don't trust
me. I was going to say, like, I forgot to answer your question, which was the who would I make stronger, who would I make weaker.
Yo, tell me.
My answer is I probably wouldn't touch anybody. If anything, maybe Zarya. I've only used Zarya once for like half a match, and I wasn't interested in her at all. And I don't see people using her at all. And I did see one IGN article. I didn't read it. I plan to read it soon. But it was basically talking about how like Zarya is actually pretty good, but nobody uses her.
Yeah, closet but I do OP, think, as we call it.
I do think there's a reason why people don't use Zarya, and I think it's just because like her character is kind of boring. Like in terms of her abilities and stuff, like people just don't feel like using her. Mm. So maybe change her so that people feel either strong with her or feel like they're being useful with her.
Give her a mohawk.
Give her a mohawk. No, I like. I know a lot of people argue with me about this, but I really like Zarya's style, and I like her. I forgot what the name of that costume is, but she has like red and black makeup.
Industrial. And, I'm going to say right now, for the record, you're objectively wrong.
Me and Ian were playing two Zaryas like last night, I think. And just like we kept just bubbling each other, we were just wrecking.
Oh yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Zarya, there's a reason why she's the 3-star most difficult tank in the entire game. Is because if you're not playing with someone who knows what they're doing and you bubble them and they pull back, then you're like, what the hell, man? Go in. I'm helping you out here. Like a good Zarya can decimate, and I feel like that's really important. And also her a lot of her beefiness comes from a shield, so she's very good at like. Okay, she's walking in. All right, she's coming back to get healed. All right, her shields are back and she's full health. Go back in. Her gameplay is definitely different than a lot of the tanks. Like that's why I would put Reinhardt above her, just because you know exactly what you're getting when you get Reinhardt. All right, sit behind the shield. Your teammates know what to do. If Reinhardt goes in, teammates know what to do. Zarya, it's a lot more miasmic as to like, oh man, she's bubbling me, what do I do? Or, oh, she's bubbling herself, what does she do? You know,
Winston, and with Zarya, when you're fighting the Zarya, you have to know when not to shoot with her. Because if she's bubbling herself, she's absorbing your damage, and that, I believe that increases her damage output.
Yeah. She has three stages of her beam. It's like, I think, like a light, medium, heavy, I think, from what I remember. And then heavy does like a lot more damage than her light, but that's dependent purely on her absorbing damage with her shield. So again, she's the least consistent. In the right hand's really good, but it's harder in a pub game or in a public game to get teammates to know, oh wait, I need to go in to help her charge her shield, and I need to do these certain things. It's hard to communicate that. It's communication without communication. You get Lucio, you know what you're getting. You get Mercy, you know what you're getting. You get what's his name? Hot Topic employee, Reaper, you know what you're getting. You know? You get Junkrat, you know what you're getting. But with these harder heroes, not Hanzo, but like more difficult heroes, Genji. Like, you can have a Genji that's godlike jumping around the map, like you have no idea where he is, and he just kills the entire team, and you're sitting there like, whoa, wait, what do I do? And then you have Zarya where you're like, oh, like she absorbs like three ultimates, and you're like, wait, what do I do? Again, it's not, it's harder to communicate what those heroes are supposed to do.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And so that was, I mean, I feel like making that the topic of the day, but we can still have, we'll still have a short conversation of the actual topic of the day. That was the honorary topic of the day.
Okay.
The actual topic of the day, and we'll make this short. Is Overwatch a $60 game? And I ask this because I watched an Angry Joe review. Are you guys familiar with Angry Joe?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And so I really like Angry Joe. And he reviewed Overwatch. And he had a lot of very valid points about the content in Overwatch. And basically what he was saying was that he doesn't believe that $60 is a good price for Overwatch. I want to know what you guys think. So, do you guys have any opinion on the matter?
Yeah, so, I mean, we should start off by saying it's all subjective. For me, it 100% is a $60 game. And I think for the general gaming audience, I think what it's really going to come down to is their updates. Are they going to do free updates, free maps, free heroes, or is it all going to be paid?
Oh, I can answer that question right now for you.
Oh, you can?
Yes.
What is it?
I'm not telling you. No, they're all free. Blizzard has announced that every map and every hero will be free from now on.
Okay.
Cosmetics are the only paid things.
Then in that case, I think it is 100% without a doubt a $60 game. That's just me. I love multiplayer games. I spend a lot of time in them. For somebody who is more single player driven and they're only going to put 10 hours into Overwatch when they're playing with their friends like on a weekend, maybe not so much. But if you are a fan of shooters in general, I think, and specifically online shooters, I think it very much is worth the price tag. What do you think, Ian?
Well, the way I think about it with games is you pay $60 for a game, right? So you have to think about how many hours you put in and how much monetarily you get back. I've already paid for Overwatch with my time, and I'm having a lot of fun, and I enjoy the characters. It's like playing a Pixar game shooter, so aesthetically I'm pleased, design wise I'm pleased. I mean, we're on an Overwatch podcast, so we obviously enjoy it. And that's my perspective. I think it's definitely worth the money, and knowing Blizzard, you know, I've played games like Hearthstone before. I have friends that played WoW for years. You know, Blizzard really supports its communities and really supports its games with lots of updates. Like, for example, we're getting competitive mode or ranked mode at the end of this month.
Yep.
So that's going to be an update for free. And I think almost every update, they're going to either balance something or they're going to, you know, give more cosmetic items, more options, stuff like that. So I think as like a, I'm doing air quotes. You can't see me obviously because it's an audio podcast, but, as like a hardcore gamer and someone who has other friends that play games as well, I feel like definitely worth your $60. But if you're like, again, like Alex said, more of a single player guy, or if you don't have a lot of friends that play video games, I don't know if you could justify this purchase because, like I was saying, like last night, like I was playing alone and I was like, oh, I have no one to talk to. I'm just sitting here just like listening to the beautiful game audio. But I can definitely see the gameplay becoming more stagnant and less dynamic if you don't have other people like, oh, I'm going Winston. Let's go five Winstons. Or, oh, like, you know, stupid ideas that come up or like, oh, two Zaryas. Let's do it. Or like, oh, look at this cool new skin. Like half of the game is like being a part of the community.
Yeah.
and like saying, oh, this, like, for example, we're talking about balance. Like, oh, I don't think Zenyatta's that good, even though I love him. Oh, I think that D.Va needs to change. Or, oh, there's like an inherent community conversation that's always going with these types of games. And if you don't have people to that are in your immediate circle to have that conversation, I feel like it loses its value. Then again, the only reason why I even know you guys is because I met Bless over Twitter and we talked about games and stuff, and then that evolved into us all talking about it. So do I think it's for everybody? Not necessarily, but if you enjoy being a part of a gaming community and you like playing multiplayer games, go out on Discord, go out on Reddit, go on Twitter and find those people, because I found this group of people and I've not had more fun in a multiplayer game in years because of you guys. So,
you know, it's funny. Sorry to interrupt, Blessing. I know you're about to say your piece.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Forget you, Bless.
I said this on Twitter. I said this on Twitter, and it's a really dumb joke, but I think it's really true. So when I think about Overwatch, you know, I see all these people around me who never play multiplayer games. They're like chomping at the bit to play more Overwatch. And it's kind of like in high school when there was like that girl or guy who was like super ugly. Nobody talked to them. And then somehow they got super hot and you like run into them at a gas station randomly. And it's like, now you stalk them. And it's a really dumb metaphor for like for a lot of people, this game was off their radar completely. And then just somehow just the spark just kind of ignited and it's all people think about, you know? And I think that says something to the quality of the game. And I think if you're on the fence about purchasing the game, you know, think about that, you know, if you're not usually into these kind of games, you know, you might be if you have friends to play with. I think if you're not into these games and you don't have any friends to play with, I think it's going to be a tough sell. But
how many times have you stalked someone from a gas station?
You know,
are we talking 10 times, 12 times?
I want to know where this is going.
Where is this going?
Well, it depends on which gas station. So like if you go to a Wawa, you're going to get like a better quality of people, you know, compared to like an Exxon.
I'm not talking to many people that I met. Stalking people at gas stations?
That's how we met. We met at Sheetz, man. You know, it just kind of happened.
Is this true?
No, that's not true at all.
I was like, what the hell? I was like, oh my God.
Who am I talking to?
Wow.
It does exist. Now, for me, though, I mean, Overwatch is sort of it's a difficult thing because there are games that I love and there are games that are probably on my, like, favorite games of all time list that, like, if you told me, like, would you say this is a $60 game, I'd probably say no. Like, for example, Gone Home is a game that I really like.
I love that game.
But I can't remember how much Gone Home is. Maybe
$20.
Like, is it like $20?
Well, it's free for PlayStation Plus members this month.
It is free next month.
I bought it for $14. Max price is $20. Free right now.
Yeah. I love Gone Home. I do not think it's a $20 game. And I think Gone Home is like a $5 to $10 game. And that's mainly because it's obviously this is all subjective, but like it's a 2 to 3 hour experience and you play it once and you're done. Mm. And I'm probably never going to go back. Actually, that's a lie. I'm going to go back when it's free on PS Plus, but I'm going to go back to it, do it once. I played it a couple years ago, last year. I can't remember. I played it once and was like, okay, I'm done. This game had a great message, had a great vibe. I love everything about this game. I'm done with it though. And if Gone Home was a $60 game, I probably wouldn't buy it or anything. I just wouldn't buy it and I probably would never play it. But that being said, it's different with Overwatch. Overwatch, of course, doesn't have single player, doesn't have 1,000 modes, doesn't have 1,000 maps, doesn't have customizable abilities, there's a lot of things Overwatch doesn't have. And at this place in time, it not having, or without it being having those free updates that Blizzard has promised or implied or whatever, there is sort of a lack of content there. But that being said, like I don't buy games at full price unless it's worth it. And I bought Overwatch because the gameplay in Overwatch is that good that I'm like I have to have this game. Like I can't not have this game. And so I bought it. So I think that does say something about that price. Of course, things cost as much as people will buy it for. And I guess for me that means that it's Overwatch is a $60 game for me because I bought it for $60 and I'm still playing it, and I haven't sold it, which means that it's worth the price of admission for me. I do think Overwatch is also a special game, and any other game with this same amount of content, if it was any lesser, then I don't think it'd be acceptable for the price. But Overwatch being Overwatch gets a pass for me. Like, for example, Star Wars Battlefront has sort of the same... I think Brian Altano even made a tweet about how people complain about Battlefront not having single player, but Overwatch does it, and it's fine because Overwatch isn't made by EA.
Well, there's different products. They have different quality.
Yeah,
they are different products. They do have different qualities. I think the point he was making was that it's fine to have a game that's just multiplayer.
Oh, hell yeah.
But I also think there is something to be said about, one, the depth of the multiplayer, the quality of the multiplayer, what you're trying to do. And this is also the Titanfall issue too. Titanfall also had only a multiplayer mode. But there's something about Overwatch that's different. It might be just because I like Overwatch more than Battlefront, like way more than Battlefront and Titanfall. I don't know what it is, but
I think honestly it's just like lightning in a bottle, you know.
It really is.
If they calculate
everything as a company or no?
Yes. I grew up. One of my first games was Warcraft on the PC.
This is my first Blizzard game.
So if you know or understand anything about Blizzard, you know that they're not, from my understanding and from my experience with Blizzard, is that they take a game genre that is lacking in something and then they make the most polished version of it. They don't take anything. There's not anything crazy about these games. They just take that idea and they polish it down to its most, like, pure. Like, think about it. Back with World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft came out because of, I think, RuneScape or like another MMO.
RuneScape, that was, EverQuest.
Yeah, EverQuest. So a very popular MMO, but had a lot of problems. Then Blizzard comes in, makes World of Warcraft. Then we have Heroes of the Storm, MOBA genre, huge genre. They take it, streamline it, very popular. Card games, very popular. And then boom, Hearthstone comes out. They isolate the most core ideas, make a really good game out of it, and then monetize the cards and the cosmetic stuff. I mean, like, you can think of every single game they come out with, like Diablo. I think Diablo, they might have been like one of the first bigger ones.
But yeah,
like Warcraft, like Starcraft was big as well. Like, you know, these big games, they're just the most distilled ideas down to its core and make sure that the things that are in the game are very approachable, very fun. And that's what Blizzard's good at. So if they just have multiplayer, that multiplayer is polished down to its most, like, purest idea. And that's why it's so fun for all of us, because it's so approachable and fun, and it's just pure. Mm-hmm. That pure grade. It sounds like I'm talking about, like, drugs or something.
Drugs, I was thinking the exact same thing.
That and I don't tar necessarily, Overwatch.
Yeah, like, I personally, I don't want to necessarily give Overwatch, like, a pass for not having enough content, even though I think... when it comes to the amount of content that's in Overwatch, I feel like it comes in, like, right at the line of, like, if you had anything less than this, then it wouldn't be okay.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid argument.
Yeah. That being said, it's enough for me. And if it's not enough for anybody else, then I think it is a valid argument, and I do think that time will tell when it comes to Overwatch.
Well, I mean, that's why they had a beta.
Yeah.
Play the beta for free. Determine if it's for you. If it's not for you, then whatever.
Can I also say that Overwatch probably has had the most successful beta of all time, apart from Minecraft. Like, Overwatch...
Minecraft's beta was 3 years, so...
Yeah, oh, yeah. Is it Minecraft still in beta? Like,
in theory, like, it is, but once a game comes out in stores, it's technically not in beta anymore. But it was in alpha, for my entirety of me being in college, so...
Yeah, but, like, Overwatch's beta has probably turned over so many believers. Like, it turned me into a believer. A lot of people would turn... Yeah, it turned so many people into believers.
Believer. I just listened to Justin
I was listening
now.
To Sorry while playing Overwatch.
Oh, God.
It was a life-changing experience. But, yeah, like, I wouldn't be playing Overwatch if it wasn't for that beta. And I'm not sure so many people would be playing Overwatch if it wasn't for that beta.
Mm.
And so shout out to betas, I guess. I think more companies should follow suit and do what Overwatch did. And if you really have faith in your game, release it for free. And then or not release it for free, but release a demo or beta or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, let people try it out is what I'm saying. That's the best form of advertisement, letting people try your game out.
Agreed, yeah. I mean, then again, the reason why it works out so well is because, again, Blizzard is like one of the biggest gaming companies in the world besides EA or those. Like, they have capital that they can have these, like, high-quality servers to make sure that, you know, ping is low. There's not a lot of, like, it's not lagging or whatever. Like, again, I'm playing from central Tokyo, and you guys are playing from America, and we have not experienced a single bit of lag or drop or whatever. So maybe it's a fallacy, actually. Maybe it's more of the PS4 doing something, or maybe it's Blizzard. I don't know.
You know, I will say, and I don't want to spend any time on it unless you guys do, but I will just say real quick, I play on both Xbox One and PS4. The Xbox One version is significantly has less quality. Like, I have significant network problems consistently on the Xbox One.
Really?
PlayStation have no issues whatsoever.
Wow. I didn't know that. I used to be an Xbox boy, but since I moved out here, that's the only system you can buy. So
yeah.
There's like PC people listening to this like, ha, you weaklings.
Well,
you PC master
playing with a mouse and keyboard.
I used to be a PC boy, but not anymore.
Have fun updating your drivers. No, I'm kidding. have fun playing Undertale.
Whoa! Stop.
And so, I love Undertale.
Stop.
I'm kidding. I love
Get
Undertale.
Get out of here.
Undertale's amazing.
Podcast over.
Do we have anything else we want to cover, or can I just go ahead and wrap it up?
Wrap it up.
Before I wrap it up,
wait. Can we do dank meme of the day?
Yeah. Okay.
Can people see the dank meme?
No, but they can look it up.
Okay.
What's the dank meme of the day?
Well, my dank meme of the day is Dat Boy.
On this thing for like weeks.
Don't you dare talk about Dat Boy like that. Show him respect.
I'm pretty sure you made up Dat Boy, and you're the only person who really knows what it is, and you're just trying to spread it.
I'll spread Dat Boy as... Okay, that sounds weird. So as if anyone doesn't know,
our rated T.
Oh, then you spit on my water.
Okay, so Dat Boy, if anyone doesn't know, is the frog on the unicycle. And since Lucio's icon is a frog, whenever I'm doing well, I'm like, yo, here come Dat Boy. And then I just go in and I ride in a wall and I heal everybody. It's a good time. And that's my meme of the day. Alex, what's your dank meme of the day?
My dank meme of the day is the Hanzo play of the game meme that's going around. If you're on Twitter, you've probably seen it. If not, just Google Hanzo play the game and it'll come up. It's the one where it's like play the game and it's the dude like running in like the tundra and he throws his bow at like his actual bow at the bird and kills it, and it's the best thing ever.
Oh yeah, I love those ones.
So
yeah, those ones are pretty
bless.
Awesome.
What's your meme of the day?
Man, I ain't got no memes. I don't have time for memes. I'm too busy playing that Overwatch.
Wow.
I'm stealing.
Your life is a meme.
Bless them.
My life really is a meme.
Bless
them. No, I'm stealing Alex's.
The memeless. Bless the memeless.
I do. Blessed are the memeless, for they shall inherit the earth.
Oh God.
Goodness.
Oh beatitudes. No, but like I do think the ones with the video of like the play of the game memes are hilarious, and shout out to whoever's making those. Alex.
But I mean, but yeah, memes are good though. Memes show that there's a community around it, a game, and like there are these inside jokes and stuff, and that's kind of all a meme is. The fact that there's so many is so funny.
The community around Overwatch is one, it's like awesome. It's also hilarious, and it's also quite creepy at the same time.
Oh, okay. So we have the good thing about memes. What's the weirdest Overwatch thing you've seen online?
The thing that you sent me like 20 seconds before we recorded the show.
Oh, wait. The thing that I said?
Reaper.
You were sending a bunch of weird stuff.
Reaper in his underwear?
So apparently... Okay, so I follow a lot of artists on Twitter, and apparently the Korean Overwatch community thinks that McCree and Hanzo are like in love. And like there's tons of...
I've been following that.
It's very strange. Where it's... Maybe we'll attach an image to the podcast, but this will be the icon for the thing. But apparently they think they're in love or something. I don't know. I don't know where there's no even any audio logs between them. There's no proof that they even know each other.
Do they even speak the same language? And I feel like McCree would be like the most racist dude ever.
Listen here.
Overwatch is racist, it'd probably be McCree.
Get that dang bow out of my face.
Or Torbjorn. You know Torbjorn's got a little hint of that racism, you know, in his eyes.
Oh, yeah.
What's the
Roadhog
dragon?
Roadhog seems like he'd vote for Trump.
Oh, Christ. But you know,
that's the end of the show.
Yay! Well,
for listening, guys.
That and then on top of that, you know, the whole butt tracer scenario. We were talking about this on chat the other day. Is that everyone was complaining about the tracer butt, but then we spent like 30 minutes going through every single what's it called, not emoticon or whatever it is,
pose.
Emote and pose to see if tracer's butt got removed, but whose butt got nerfed, or whose butts got nerfed and whose butts got buffed. And we determined that May's butt is now queen of Overwatch, and Genji's butt is right under that.
I don't know, man. Have you seen was it Hanzo's? I forgot who it was. I can't remember whether Hanzo's butt is covered or not.
So everyone, send us your butt tier list at okbeast.com /butts.
Don't send anything that has to do with butts to any OKBeast related email.
Once again, that's okbeast.com /butts, please.
It will be hilarious if you go there and there's actually something there.
It's just my face.
It's like an Easter egg. But this has been Overwatched. The number one Overwatch podcast on the internet. That's a lie. It's probably number two because there is another one that I discovered a couple weeks ago.
Be confident, man.
Oh, yeah. Do you guys have anything to plug before I do the ending
bookmark? Of course. But I'll let Ian go first.
Okay. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Ian Why Not. That is IanWhyNot. Also, if you want to see any of my articles written about Japan, you can go to taiken.co. Or if you want to check out my writings or my random bloggings about Digimon and other Japanese weird things, go to freshquarterblog.tumblr.com.
Cool. And you can follow me on Twitter at It's Van Aken, ITSVANAKEN. Every now and then I make some dank memes myself. Talk about music, video games, whatever. And also I do co-host a weekly podcast about video games, just in general, and tech and all that fun stuff, called Pixel Pulse Radio. We're on iTunes, Google Play, all that stuff. You can find us also at pixelpulseradio.com.
You should have me on that podcast, Alex.
I should.
Okay, we'll talk about it.
And for those of you listening, I am Blessing. You can find me on Twitter at Blessing Jr. That is at Blessing Jr. The website is okbeast.com. That's where you can find all the information you need to know about gaming. That's a lie. You won't find much of the information you need to know about gaming on the website, but you will find a lot of interesting articles, a lot of interesting opinion pieces, a lot of video game information that you might like to know. Once again, Overwatch is a podcast dedicated to all things Overwatch, from the characters to the updates to our experiences with the game. This is a show made to share our love and keep you up to date on the world of Overwatch. This has been episode 1. Thank you for listening.
Bye-bye.
And we're out.
Have a blessed day.
Bye-bye.